Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in at the roundtables with mothers and daughters around the world, and including my co-host, Cynthia Oliver. We get up every Saturday morning, we come on, we listen to what God has said, the Holy Spirit placed in our hearts, and we share. We share our weekly experiences, our weekly learnings and teachings and studies and just our life itself as a testimony to be able to help someone else know that, you know, we all in this together. There's no separation in spirit. And also with us is Deborah Tyler, who's with us on Saturday mornings, and she shared come with her life experiences and her teachings and learnings. And you know, that's all it is. It's just us coming together and just sharing a thought, and hopefully that thought will penetrate into the minds and hearts of individuals around the world. And some things, you know, you might feel that, you know, well, that's just not right for me, and that's okay, because you have to be in a position to receive it. And sometimes, you know, you're not there, but keep in mind that thought is going to linger with you, and then one day it's going to reposition itself in your consciousness, and you're going to think, wow, I remember they were talking about that. So just think about it. We all are in this together, and that's how we're going to work through it. Again, I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. So today, oh my goodness, I'm telling you, January is on its way out. What are you doing? Are we taking advantage of our time? Because it's really moving. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm fine, Dr. Fletcher. How are you this morning? Good morning, audience. All is well. Determined to be well, girl.
Very good.
And you're doing okay, I hear. And that's always awesome to hear that you're well.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I can't complain.
Good job.
Let me get Deborah on.
Okay.
Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Dr. Bessie. Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, audience. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hallelujah.
How was your week, ma'am?
I tell you, I'm pressing my way. I got some AM classes that require me to get up at 7. And I'm just pressing my way.
Well, that's it. That's it. That is the one ingredient that we can't get past when God has called us. We have to press, and that's scripture. Mm-hmm. So you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're pressing. Good job.
Press.
All right. Well, it seems like you're making it, you know. And you know, when you say something like that, it may sound like it's a struggle. But in essence, you really, truly enjoy it, because you think about it, you don't have to do it. But we do it because, you know, we know we want to do it. And sometimes when I think about it like that, I'm sitting in here and I'm doing something like overwhelmed this week. And I was talking to a lady, and she said to me, I don't even know the lady. You know, I was calling her because of some information I needed. And she was telling about the program, and she was saying, it sounds like you are you're getting what you asked for. And so I had to kind of go, really? And I laughed. I said, you know what? You're right. She said, yeah. She said, I can see it. She said, it's getting real busy now, isn't it? I said, well, yeah. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to chop it down in little pieces because I'm telling you, it was so many things. I need like probably an administrative person. I need a person that can do project management. You know, but what? I told her, I had a laugh, and I said, I had to be the manager, the administrator, the project manager, the person that cleans the floor, clean out the bathroom, fix the food. And she started, I said, because that's what you are when you are in a growing position. It may seem like it's hard, but, you know, God won't put nothing on us that we cannot bear. And then when you look at that and think about it, you think, okay, I'm all right. I'm all right. Just in your mind, decide I'm all right. And I just put it in different little categories and say, I'm going to do this much. And at the end of the day, I said, you know what? I've done all I could do today, and that was pretty good. I just started really doing that for myself this past week because I'm like, no, I'm not going to get overwhelmed. I'm just going to do what I can do, turn my computer off. Of course, I turn it off at 11 o'clock. But that's the end of my day. That's all I can do for the day and laugh it off. But you're doing a great job, Deborah. Great job.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. So this week, we're coming up to graduation. And before we get into that, Cynthia, you want to give us the prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Dear Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you for this is the day that you have made. We thank you, Father God, for the tasks and the assignments that you put before us. We thank you, Father God, that we are coming up on a second annual graduation for the Mother and Daughter Bible College. Was put out there and is out there because you've called us to do it. And so we thank you for it. We thank you, Father God, for the due diligence. We thank you, Father God, for every position that's there. And we thank you, God, for all the help that you sent us and favor in it all, because it takes a village, as they say, to raise the next generation. And oftentimes, Father God, it looks a little interesting, and I'm going to just leave it that way. But, Father God, you always bring us through, and we want to say thank you. We thank you, Father God, for the heart that you've given us to be diligent, because that's what it takes in order to please you. Father God, you have given us a mind and a heart to want to serve, and there it is, we're serving. And Father God, I can only say from my desire, and I know Dr. Fletcher and Deborah, in a sense that they too desire to serve you. And so, Father God, I know for all purposes that it's the glory for you to get the glory, Father. It's not about us, and it's not about the position that we have with the organization, but it's about you, and it's about letting people know that you're able to pull them out of a very dark place. There's nothing that you can't do, and it's nothing that we can't do if we just trust you and walk in that trust. But, Father God, you said that you've given us of courage, and you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of courage to continue to walk in the light of Christ. He was the perfect example of being pressed and continued to move in it all. Nothing stopped him. Nothing even hindered him. When he had a place to be, he was there. And I said years ago, Father God, if he can walk everywhere he goes, and I have a car, if you send me, I will go. And so I thank you that Deborah, Dr. Fletcher, and myself, we have like-mindedness when it comes to wanting to serve and to follow our Lord and Savior. And I just thank you for such an awesome team, Father God. But together, we get it done. And all of these things, I pray for our audience, one by one, name by name, that they will catch a hold of the vision and the purpose that you have for their lives and they will be so busy trying to get there that they won't have time to think about being pressed. And we just thank you, Father. We love you. We thank you for this day. But this is the day that you have made, and we will be rejoice and be glad in it. And we're excited, Daddy, about the graduation. And we know that all will be well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's exciting. And what's so amazing, when you know that you're growing, you know, like I tell people, I've been out here for a long time working for myself, and I've been through different periods of growth, and, you know, I can tell when it's coming, but I just know that this is my last period of, that's why I don't want to deviate from it, because I don't have time to start all over again. I don't have time to try to go back, try to figure it out. So I'm being very cautious on how I handle and how I listen to the word of the Lord, because I don't want to go back another 20 years and start on a journey and hoping and praying. No, God is showing me now, you know, you're stuck, you stay, you're there, just keep going. And so, audience, mothers and daughters, what I'm saying to you is, wherever you are, just know that you're in the midst of that journey. Try to do the very best you can and keep moving forward. Because the enemy, that's his job, just to throw us off course and make sure that we miss the mark, or if nothing more than irritate your life, just irritate your life. And so with the school, we are finishing up the class of 1999. They're finishing up. They finished with me. I think they have some writings that they turned in for Professor Oliver. And they are done. They've already gotten the graduation equipment and everything, the programs done, the people, the speakers, the singers, the whole nine yards is put in place. And so, and even with that, we still start another class and I taught my second class Thursday night. And this is the class of 2020. And I'm like, wow, we done start overlapping with another class, and we got people registering for the online college. So this thing is just taking on a speed, and we just got to be real careful and monitor it so that it just don't get overwhelming. But I thank God for it. He told us to do it, and he's doing what he said he's going to do, and he's just taking over and making it happen. And so Cynthia and I are just holding on like two little kids holding on to a rope, saying, okay, Father, we're going to go wherever you tell us to go. And it's not for us. It's for the ladies that's going to walk across that stage on Saturday that have changed their lives. And they have done a wonderful job, a wonderful job. Do we feel like mothers? Yes, we do. We had to mother. We had to nurture. We had to, but as far as them doing their work, as far as them having the intelligence, all of that, you know, they all came along, because every last one of them came out of prison during this class period. And that's where the mothering really started, because when you get back out into your environment around your family members and old friends, the challenge hit them. And so I am proud of each and every one of them, because they have stuck and stayed in the midst of coming back into their old environment. They had a few struggles, but they did not give up on their work. They did not give up on their idea that I'm going to graduate. And so I told them, I said, can you all believe it? You're at the end of this journey. You're going to get an accredited college degree. And then we offer them internships with us. And then we help them get internships with other organizations. So they're going to be prepared for that new life if they choose to keep going. It's up to them. All we can do is birth the babies, get them ready, feed them, give them some knowledge and information, and hopefully they'll keep on doing what they're doing. They're wonderful, wonderful ladies. So that's my take on graduation next week. Thank you, Deborah, for coming in and helping us on that as well. So I'll tell you, ladies,
goodbye, and I'll come back and pick you up in a few minutes.
Okay.
All right, audience. You've heard my spiel about the graduation. You know, anybody out there that wants to finish their college degree and you have not, you got a desire, you don't know how to do it, you can go to our website at mdbn.org, request the information. We will send the information out to you. You fill out the information if you want to in the application, submit it back to us, and then we'll start your process. So don't sit back and wonder, you know, I wish I had her, and I could have, and I didn't finish, and this, that, and the other, because you can do it. And you're going to be surprised at the gift that God is going to give you. I'm not even going to tell you that now, but once you decide that you want to do it, I want you to do it because you want to do it, not because of the opportunity that might be waiting for you when you do it. So that's all I'm going to say about that. That's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network, .org. Go up to the college page, click on it, and fill out the information package. We got people doing it now. It's amazing. When the first one, we got so excited, we were dancing because we knew the game was on. Again, good morning. My name is Dr. Bessie, and I'm here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. Our stimulating topic today is mothers and daughters. Can you see God's protection in your life? Mothers and daughters, can you see God's protection in your life? That's our topic. That topic means a lot to me, and I'll tell you why before. And it's just amazing. I won't reveal who the people were, but I'll reveal the situation. So you could see God's hands. Last week we talked about a stimulating topic was about mothers and daughters. You have the answers to all of your problems. And, you know, sometimes people may say, oh, really, Dr. Bessie, do I have the answer to all my problems? Yes, you do. And if you're new on today and you didn't hear last week's show, go to our website, mdbn.org, and go to media and go to the blog talk and listen to the show from last week. And I'm telling you, you're going to find out you have the answer. No one has the answer for you. That's the uniqueness of God. He didn't put us here to depend on man. Lord knows if we had to depend on another man for our salvation, that's why he sent Jesus. He said, this is the only son. I'm sending him, and he's doing the work. And once he finishes, done. Now you look unto him, not unto man, for your answers. And that's all you need to get, mothers and daughters. Just look to Jesus. Don't look to man because they don't have the answers. I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and I tell my clients from the very beginning, I do not have your answers. But what I can help you do is to tap into that spiritual being that's inside of you. And if you don't have the knowledge of who he is and that is inside of you, then let me introduce you to Jesus. Get to know the person that has your answers, that has really bought and paid for you. That's your owner, that's your savior, your master. He's the one with your answers. But the answer is inside of you. So there's nothing that you can come up with that you can say, there's no answer, this is impossible. Don't commit suicide, little girls, and don't cut yourself up because you think that there's no hope. The hope is inside of you. We always look at outside for something when it's right there inside of you all the time. It's inside of you. And you know it if you just think for a moment and you say, wow, the answer's inside of me, you'll feel something in your belly because it's going to say yes. We did a demonstration on here a few months ago, and I can't think of the name of the show right now, but it was I asked everybody to just speak to themselves and just say hello to yourself from within, you know, or just say, I said, hello, Bessie. And you wait. And then you hear the voice say, hello. So have you ever spoken to yourself? Try sometimes. I think Cynthia said when she did it, it actually moved her soul. It stunned her. She could hear it. It came back in a vibration. So whatever you need is on the inside. But today I want to talk to you about, can you see the hands of God protection in your life? You know, I think it was David. Was it David or Daniel? It might have been Daniel. He could feel the hands of God. Yeah, it was Daniel. Because it came back through with the Daniel prayer and fast and all of that. But he could feel God's hands on him, as many of the prophets. And as many of us that walk around, that are Christians, we can feel God's hands of protection in our lives. But just think of the one or two times that we recognize, oh, my goodness, whew, that was God. That's probably just 1% of the time out of the 100%. 99% of the time, we don't even recognize the hands of God in our life. I don't know if we could even comprehend if we did. Could recognize the hands of God in our life. How could we comprehend all those things? Can your conscious mind receive it and process it? I don't know. But one thing we do know, just like we know we have all the answers, we do know that we have the protection of God in our life. He said, I'll never leave you. He didn't even say you had to be saved. That he would never leave you. He said, wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. You go to the pits of hell, I'm with you. That's why I tell mothers and daughters, especially the ones that sometimes they tell me, I'm trying to get off this pole, Dr. Bessie, but it's hard for me to get off the pole. Okay. You can get off. But just remember, when you're on the pole, God is with you. One young lady looked at me and she was like, what? I was like, yeah, everywhere you go, he's with you. All the things that we've done that we thought would be slick, including me, if I really at some time in my earlier life realized from the consciousness that we know about God and we know God is everywhere, but when you get that consciousness feeling of everywhere you go, everything you do, he's with you, he sees it, it changes your perspective on your decision-making processes. You'll be like, what? Well, I can't do that because God's watching me. But it's that unconscious mind that you're moving out of that you don't even think about God with some of the things that you do. Because if you knew better, you'd do better. That's why Jesus said, Father, forgive them for what they do because they know not for what they do. Forgive them. He knew because he knew if we knew better, we would do better. The Spirit would lead you to do better if you would allow it. But because we're asleep in certain areas, we don't do it. So the protection of God is always with us, and thank God for that. It's always with us. I can remember times when I have, I sat down one day and just wrote down some major things that happened. And when I look back now, I can't remember where I put it, but I know it's in some of my books. I got all kind of books here that I write in, put notes. And I was thinking about I was headed to Indiana. And all of a sudden, my car just hit a thing of water on the side of the road, and it airplaned up. I mean, up like I was a plane going up in the air. I saw it, I felt it, my hands was on the wheel,
And I was like, oh, my God. And where I was going to land was on that overhead bridge. And all of a sudden, there was cars, six lanes of cars now. And all of a sudden, I was in the middle of the road, spinning around like a spinning top. And I headed straight where I was going. The car headed straight north. And when I looked up, there were six cars in a row ahead of me, like evenly, even. Not one up, one back a little bit. It was even. I looked behind me. There were six cars behind me, and they were even, and I was in the middle. And I thought, wonder what they were thinking. If they saw this, it was the most miraculous thing. When I got myself together and I pulled over, and I was thanking God because I knew. I said, Lord, 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 that's you. I do a lot of traveling. I do a lot of driving. And when I lived down in the Fort Lauderdale area, you know, 16-hour drive for 12 and a half, almost 13 years, you can count it. I'm home at least every 2 or 3 months, every holiday. You know, that's a lot of driving. And I drove those hours. I've experienced a lot of things on the road. I've seen things happen right in front of my eyes on the road, and I've seen God's hand move and protect me so many times on the road, in the airplane. But then just think of how many times I haven't seen things happen every day. I woke up this morning. That was a miracle. So something happened this week that really triggered this topic. Because even when I was asking the Holy Spirit this morning, what are we going to talk about? So, well, what do you want to talk about? That just kept that, this incident that happened this week kept coming up in my mind. And then all of a sudden I got this topic. Mothers and daughters, can you see God's protection in your life? So before I get to that, I just want to say the hands of God's always with you. And like I say, 99% of the time, you don't recognize it. We're just unconscious to it. Because miracles are happening every second in your life. Just the fact that you can breathe in air and breathe out, you know, and exhale, you know, you don't realize that's a miracle. Because one day you're going to breathe in and you're going to breathe out, but you're not going to be able to breathe in again. The miracle stops. We don't think of breath, breathing in. So when you breathe in, you're breathing in life. You're exhaling death. I'm telling you. But one day, you're not going to be able to breathe in that life. The miracle will stop. You see that? Because we don't recognize these things, it's because it's a part of our unconscious mind. The unconscious mind is those things that we do that we don't even know that it's happening. It just happens. Sometimes we do something and go, wow, I've driven past 10 lights. I didn't even remember passing that. But yet you're on the road driving amongst other people that are doing the same thing and in the same state of unconsciousness, because the unconsciousness will take over and all of a sudden you slumber and you've done something and you wake, you know, come back to your conscious mind and realize, wow, can't believe that happened. Now that happens to all of us. But miracles are recorded in the subconscious mind. Every miracle that happened in your life, everything that you see, taste, smell, touch, hear, is in your subconscious mind. And in your subconscious mind is your book of life. Everything is in your book of life. And it's recorded into your subconscious mind. And then there are those things that you consciously can see and remember. Like I just told you about the car, airplaneing, and God just, the angels just took that car and turned it around, turned it so it wouldn't hit that bridge, and it spit me around and headed me in the right direction. It seemed like it was a long period of time, but I'm sure it was a very quick kind of a thing. But to me, if you look at it in slow motion, and I will never forget that one. There's some others, and I could tell it, and we all can get on and tell many, many stories. But what we want to do is just to be able to say, thank you, God. I see your hand. I know you're doing it. I know I'm under your protection. Things that we didn't even know. You didn't know if you were going to have food to eat. You didn't know if you were going to have money to pay a bill. You didn't know if you were going to be able to make a car payment. You know, you just say, oh, my God, how is this going to happen? You know, you get worried. But what happens? God sends a miracle. He's not going to let you suffer. He's going to protect you from the enemy. Because the lack of anything in your life as a Christian is a blockage made by Satan. If it's not good, it's bad. And if it's bad, it's Satan. It's simple as that. So any stress, any disconnect, any uncomfortableness in your life, that's from a negative source. But we could tell when it's God, when, you know, something happened and all of a sudden we're happy and then we just rejoicing and dancing around, you know, yada, 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 yada. That's what people do, especially with money. When they don't have no money, they don't have no joy. But the minute they get money, they got joy, you know. They think that's the miracle of life. The miracle is believing God and standing and knowing without a shadow of a doubt, whatever I need, it will show up. It will be here. It will be here on time. As a young lady used to say to me, he's 11:59 God. The day will not come that you will be lacking in any way. He's going to come before that clock strike 12. He's 11:59 God. And I thought that was interesting. She said, yeah, he's always on time. The day will not come that you're lacking and you're missing. You love me. You serve me. I got you. I will take care of you. So those miracles that you give praise to God because you know that you know that you know that you know that only God could have saved you from that. Only God could have saved you from that. Some things you're not even going to tell nobody. And that's okay. You don't need to. But you know and God know. And you say to yourself and you say in your mind's eye, you look at it, you talk to God, you say, God, thank you. I could have gotten killed in that situation. But you saved me. That's between you and God. That's where the personal relationship comes in there. You know, you don't have to tell nobody else. That's between you and God. It's like, I recognize your hand. How many times I say, God, thank you. I saw your hand. I can even sit here and tell you, I have literally, physically seen the wave of God's hand in my life. Just the hand, it's like air. I can't even, the shape of a hand is clear, and it was like air move in front of me. So when you look back in your life, you're going to see, and you got your own recognitions of God showing up in your life. He's letting you know, I'm here. Why would you worry? I'm not one that's going to pick, oh, well, I'm going to help you on this one. Oh, yeah, but I'm not going to help you on that one. You know, what kind of God is that? He says, I'm the same all the time. See, the change is your level of faith. Are you wavering? Are you strong in faith in this and weak in faith in that? Well, you know, that's not God wavering. That's you. If you've seen his hands one time, you better believe his hands is on you. And he wanted you to know it, and he wanted you to see it, and now you got a connection. Why would you disbelieve that? Believe. And you shall receive. It's written. Now, things like being saved from an accident, like I explained to you, I knew that was the hands of God. Did I not get on my knees and pray and thank God and just went on and on and on? Because I was like, that was a miracle in front of my eyes. Some of us have a very strong pain in our body, sickness, something happened. You pray, you ask God, and all of a sudden it stopped. It just go away. You healed. Most times people will say, oh, God, thank you. But a lot of times it goes away in such a smoothness that you don't realize. You just, you'll go for days and say, you know what? Wow. What happened? I couldn't even lift my arm. Now all of a sudden, when did that happen? You see, you didn't even acknowledge God. You just went right on, acting as if, and then you done gone 4 or 5 days up. It's just like when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, and then they all left, and one got up the road and said, you know what? Hey, wait a minute. I got to go back. This guy healed me. I didn't even say thank you. See, there's nothing that we do that's not in the Bible for the example. And this is a prime example. But the others, they were so excited about being healed. I can imagine they were running and jumping and excited. Didn't even think about going back to thank Jesus. He went back. He said, yeah, but it wasn't at 10. I guess the guy was like, yeah, but hey, I don't know about them, but I'm here. I just want to say thank you because I want this to stay. I don't want to, you know, lose my blessing. Thank you. I can't answer for them, but I came back. And I tell you, the most unique one, well, not unique, let me take that back. I didn't want to say unique. That's the wrong word. The most common thing is surrounded by money. That's the most common among humans because that's the enemy's greatest weapon. He knows if he can distract money from us, if he can cause us to be feeling lacking in some way, that he got us in a place where we can't even see God's hands because we're so busy concentrating on that distraction that's over there in the corner. It's like people say, do you not see the pink elephant in the room? You're like, what pink elephant? You can feel it. It's thick. Well, see, that's the enemy. He wants you to always concentrate on what if. What if I don't get this, what if? And he's right there to tell you, oh, this is what's going to happen. You're going to lose this and you're going to lose that and you're going to be out and you ain't going to have nothing to eat and, you know, your children, they're going to go without and you're going to lose your house and, you know, yeah, that's what's going to happen to you. And as long as you entertain that, the deeper you go. But the minute you said you're a liar, no, that's not going to happen because that's not what God said. Philippians 4:19, he says, well, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. He said he'll do that. Nah, I'm not going to believe you. It is written. That's what Jesus told him. It is written. And all you got to tell him, it is written. He knows it's written. He just don't want you to be consciously aware that it's written and to give it back to him. Get thee away from me. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we use the word. And in my business, a lot of times I'm dealing with people who want to give up on life. They want to give up on life. Young girls cutting themselves. But they know how to cut themselves. They don't cut it so that they know they're going to bleed out. They cut it enough to scrape the surface to get the attention of whom they're trying to put fear into their mother, the parents, and then, oh, God, she's cutting herself. Yeah. And I tell them all the time, stop it, because you know what you're doing. You don't really want to leave here. You're just trying to get some attention. Because if a person really want to leave, it's a simple process. Don't take a lot to do it. But see, the enemy will tell you, especially with children. That's a way to get at your parents. But the protection of God is on them. He won't allow them to do it the right way. And now I'm going to tell you about a situation that happened this past week. This young lady I've known since the fourth grade. We played together. We grew up together. Our families grew together. And so we always were sort of like cousins, but yet she married someone in the family. Because we grew up together in school. Praying woman. Love talking to her. I learned so much when I have a conversation with her. No, not just the Bible. It's not about that. It's about her relationship with God. It's her conversations with God. And when we have conversations, I'm always elevated. Boy, I'm just like, I love talking to her. And all of a sudden, I'm trying to figure out how to say this to make it short because it could be a long story. God said, and I'm a believer, and this is one of my things that I always say, God, you said that you will bless me, my children, and my children's children. So that's why it's important for me as the matriarch of this family to be in order, to be decently in order, so that my children and my children's children will receive the blessing. And this week, her granddaughter came in the house. And anyway, it's a group of little boys fussing against each other and one thing to the other. And she broke off with a boyfriend, and he wants the baby, and she didn't want to give him the baby. And then there was a threat about shooting up the family, and it just got back and forth, back and forth. She came in the house. Walked in at 7 o'clock, and the young lady said she was laying on her bed. Two of her grandkids was in their room on their bed. One of her grandnephews was on his bed. And then, you know, 7:15, I guess the kids was kind of studying their lessons or what have you. And all of a sudden, someone opened fire in the house. And whatever bullets they had, she said she rolled, she dropped on the floor, crawled down. The kids were screaming and hollering. She said she jumped up and ran into another room. And I can't imagine. But, you know, that's probably one of those guns that, I don't know what they call them, F something or other. But it was like, you know, kind of nonstop. And she said the glass was shooting from the windows. The bullets was hitting the walls with the sheetrock. The sheetrock was flying everywhere. Some of the bullets was hitting the bed mattress, the mattress cushions, the cotton in the mattress was flying everywhere. She said she managed to get them, and she laid on the floor. Everybody was on the front room, in the living room on the floor. And what they did, they just came along the side because it was in the woods, and they just started shooting down that side where all the bedrooms were. Tore up the place. And not one person got a piece of glass on them, piece of sheetrock on them, not a bullet on them, nothing. No dust on them. And she said dust was flying everywhere. It reminded me of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. No smoke on them. And when the cops got there, they was like, ma'am, we don't know. Who you know, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. A house torn up and nobody got hurt. And when I heard it, I mean literally, I really just started shouting and praising God and thanking God and crying. I was like, Lord, because I could just see what the possibilities could have been. But what I saw was God's hands. When I got to her and we were talking, she said, I said, do you see? She said, it was nothing but God. God told her, gather those babies up, and she laid down and wrapped her arms around those babies. And no one got hurt. Now, for those little girls, and even that grandnephew, he said, I will never go back in that house. He recognized, he said, because God protected us in that house. And now that's our signal to move on. So I'm saying to you out there, keep your hands, your mind, your spirit on God, because he will protect you. I'm opening it up. Cynthia.
Yes, ma'am. Well, it's nothing short of God's mercy. And I shared with you earlier this week that I could just see the hand of God, the angels just blocking those bullets, because there's no way that you can explain God's protection in this situation. God is constantly with us. That's in Jeremiah 1:8 and Daniel 9:15. God said, and now, O Lord, our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, just like he had a mighty hand in bringing all of those thousands of people out, he had a mighty hand in bringing out those five people in that house. And every time God allows something to happen so crazy, you can't help but see his miraculous hand in the situation. Because from man's eye, according to the detectives that had the conversation with them, there's no way they should be alive or somebody hurt. But his hand was on them, and God tells us to stand despite the, you know, and oftentimes when you are a child of God, the enemy, he's not short on crazy. He brings the biggest and baddest guns out that he can get, and that's not a physical gun. That's everything that he can throw at you out of the kitchen sink. It comes at you at times, but you have to be determined to stand. He said, I will take care of you, for I am with you. That's in Jeremiah 1 as well, verses 1 through 20. All of this is coming out. And so when we determine to know, because like you said, in the subconscious mind is what stores those miraculous moments. Sometimes we forget, but it's not until something else happened to somebody else that we go back and start to reflect all the times that God has had his hands on us. You mentioned a car accident. I remember a car accident where me and my son, and it always has to do sometimes with something I was responsible for this accident. I was responsible for this accident because I was trying to do God, but I was trying to do me too. And you can't do God and you, because my mind wasn't in the right place when this happened. And we open the door to the enemy when we're trying to do God and us. You can't play with God. You either going to be full force in seeking him. And like you said, even though he allowed this to happen, my son and I walked away from a car that was totaled. Not a scratch, not even had to go to the hospital. And I thought my son was dead, because when I heard the people around us calling, are you all right? All right. I didn't hear anything because my eyes was closed. But not even a scratch on me or my son, and the car was total lost.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful with the situations, that the doors that we open, that the enemy comes in. But even then, God's hands was on me, and he saved my baby, because it hit the side that my son was on. He was about 13 years old at that time. That's my story. Thank you for allowing me to share.
And, you know, Wow. Wow. I'm just, God is just awesome. That's all I can say. God is just awesome. He promised, and he's doing his part. We just got to do ours. Good morning, Deborah, again.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I tell you, I'm sitting here and I'm reflecting back and I'm saying, oh my God, and I'm just so touched by the miraculous ways of God, and I'm saying, whoa, you know, I was just stuck right there with the bullet thing. I was just stuck right there because that's one of my things that I say, Lord, I live in a city where they don't care about life or more so than any other neighborhood in Miami. So I'm in one of them cities, and I just thank God that I've never had an incident or accident in this area that's highly populated with shooting. And so I'm just thanking God. But I could remember, and it's, you know, just doing a little twist to it, how God miraculously delivered me from drugs, how I opened a door, like Cynthia said, to the enemy, and I allowed him to come in with the drinking and the smoking spirit, and it took me to places that nobody would ever dream if they knew me. You know, it took me to places. For 5 years, I lived in a way that was not fit for a woman to live, being enslaved to drugs. And this makes 10 years today that God miraculously delivered me and took the taste of all the mind-altering things that I would put in my body away from me. 10 years, this is my first time in my whole life that I ever been 10 years, even a year, without indulging in marijuana or drinking or something. But this has been 10 years, and I can remember the times that I was out there walking on a sidewalk one night, early morning, trying to make it to what I call home. And I messed around and missed. It's a pole, and it's another pole, and they're not aligned on the sidewalk, so you got to know how to bob and weave. And so I forgot to bob and weave and hit one, and it hit me in the top of the head and knocked me out, and I was laid out on the sidewalk 2 o'clock in the morning, and a pastor came by at the red light and said, God told me to stop and check on you. He had to go around because God was dealing with him. He was telling him, go back. That's one of mine. Go back. Get up off the sidewalk. And the man got out, came to the sidewalk, and he lifted me up because I had passed out from the blow. And he lifted me up, and he said, God told me to come back and check on you. Are you all right? And I got up and, you know, made a little whatever. I don't even know what I said. Thank you. Thank you for listening to God. So I was saying to myself as you were speaking how there's times that we might not hear God, but somebody else will hear God and come and do the work for God to help deliver somebody else out of situation. I was laid out on the sidewalk, 2 o'clock in the morning, and the man came by. And then on the other side of the sidewalk, I remember some incidents where the police came and told me, you know, was panhandling and whatever we do over there, we did. And she said to me, now I'm out the wheel and all of that, and my friend, you know, put in the car, police car, saying, God telling me not to take you to jail. You know, and I'm saying, I'm so glad you listen to God. See, I had kind of stuffed my ears because of my lifestyle, but there was other people that was listening to God. And I thank God, for people that listen to God, because then I was in a backslidden state. God delivered me out of all of that. He delivered me through the hands of his servants. And I just thank God for people that listen to God when other people are off, like me, like I was, you know. And so you just made me reflect back where he came and even saved me from one night probably being raped by a guy that had to set it up in motion. And God gave me a way of escape. Things I had brought on myself, like you say, open the door to the enemy, being out there that time of night, he preserved me, he saved me. He said, because you're mine, you're chosen, and I know that you're down the track right now, and I'm trying to bring you out. I've never left you, but you left me. And I kept saying, Lord, if you could just help me, help me, help me. You know, help me, my biggest enemy, help me, help me. And God delivered me, and every time I go by that spot, it's like a monument. It's like I remember when. And every year I go to the lady's house and I take her guilt. I remember when you fed me when I was hungry, when you showed me the love of God. I was hungry. You fed me. So every year I go and I take her guilt, and I tell her thank you. Thank you for listening to God, for being obedient. So that's my message is there's times that you might not be obedient, but thank God for people that's being obedient and being a part of the miracle and the blessings that he throw upon us, even when we out of the will. And so I came back to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I know the world don't mean me no good. Help me keep my eyes on you. Help me stay in tune with you. Help me help somebody that might not be listening to you. Thank you for getting me back on track. Thank you for not letting me smell like smoke. Thank you for bringing me out without a symptom. Thank you for bringing me out, Lord, for saving my life, for performing the miracles that you did. And I thank you, Lord, because that could have been for people that weren't listening to God, like when I was out the wheel and left me on that sidewalk. And I just thank God, and I got a little emotional, so, and I just, it's been so good to me, you know. Just thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Yes.
Good.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I get in here, and I'm telling you, when I heard that story, and I knew, I mean, it just took everything I had. I just had to just, I mean, I'm like you. I had all kind of flashbacks, and I just thinking, I said, God, that's your hand. I mean, that's it. There's no way in the world you cannot say it wasn't God. I mean, because what? Three houses were shot up the week before, and people got killed. They're going around shooting up houses like that. And in that house, I told the young lady, I said, I thought about the lady that they told him put the blood over the door. So when death come by, he can't stop. He can't stop. He had to pass by. And that's what I could just see over her door. But she said when she laid there with those babies, and I'm talking about the only two babies, one was probably about 9, the other about 12. Everybody else was grown people. She said, I will not fear. He told me not to fear. I will not fear. And I'm telling you, she said when she got up from there and they looked around, they can't even do nothing with the house. Her son's just going to go board it up, you know, get the clothes out and board it up. They said, you're going out of here because it's a Mark house now. Not because of her, but because her granddaughter getting connected with the wrong group. And these people don't play. But even out of all of that, the one they came to get was laying on that floor and did not get touched because of what? Her grandmother's prayers, her grandmother's blessings. They saw her come in. She came in at 7. They started shooting at 7:15 because they knew she was in there. They probably knew what room she was in, and they started shooting. Didn't even get it. They put on the internet, we took care of that. But later to find out, nobody was hurt. Now, you tell me that ain't up with God. Audience, I'm telling you, you're better with them than without him.
Come on now. And that is in Jeremiah 4 through 5. So,
you're better with them than without him. That's it. You're better with them. Because, you know, like sometimes, and I'm going to say this, there's a young lady that my daughter went to, and said to her, she was going through chemo, she had cancer, and she had to go through chemo and all this. And Angie took her these CDs from Keith Moore on healing, and she was wanting to pray with her and took her some Bible verses and stuff. And she said, if you listen to these and you know, do all this and let me pray with you. And the girl said, oh, it's okay. It's just going to be a little simple procedure. It won't be anything serious. It's just simple. And so Angie, she said, yeah. She said, but, you know, I just want you to know you're already here. Oh, no. Yeah, she didn't want to hear it. She didn't want to receive what the Lord told Angie to tell her. And Angie said, well, Mama, I tried. I said, but see, baby, that's all you can do. You go and you try to share the word of God and tell her if she's going to be better with God than without him.
I said, but that's all you can do. But one thing you can do, we're going to pray for her anyway. She went through a struggle. Things she thought was, when she thought she was through with chemo, then they had to start all over again. And it's just been a struggle. Now, a young lady I met who God sent me to go and to this place, and then all of a sudden, you know, I was there for her, and she was there for me because we're supposed to have met. And to this day, we formed a friendship. She was going through chemo, and because she's a woman of God and believe, and she says, I will not fear. I told the devil, no. Have not lost one strand of hair. Hair just as thick and beautiful. And then all of a sudden, she went through her 8 things of chemo, and she said when she went back for the last one about 3 weeks ago, they told her, they couldn't find nothing. It's like it's never happened. She said, but God had told her, she told me it, about 2 weeks before she went for her last checkup, she said, the Lord told me that it's over. It's over. And those people was amazed. And I told her, I said, I told my daughter, I said, now see, that's the difference of going through something with Jesus as opposed to going through something without him. Those are two prime examples where we saw God's hands. Because the other lady wouldn't accept it, she went through a rougher transition. The one that received and believed walked through, and God made sure that there was no smoke on her at the end. But just like Jesus, he came to present. Some received and some didn't.
Amen.
Thank you, ladies. I'll be back.
You're welcome.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network.
That got me all twisted.
Don't be twisted, girl.
I played the wrong music. I heard somebody saying something, and I just went and mashed the button. What was it? Somebody wanted to say something before I hit the last
button? No. It's okay. You know that's part of my story with my son, Keith. And was there when he was tempted to fear, he told his wife and his wife now, his girlfriend then, and myself, he said, Mom, when he went through cancer, he said, when y'all don't know what to do, just follow me because I will not fear. Thank God
Amen.
That he knew Jesus and that
Amen.
I'm telling you, he's amazing. He's amazing. You're
Amen.
Better with him than without him, audience.
That's
Give
it.
Me Jesus. That's all I can say. Give
Amen.
Me Jesus.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure
already.
To tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, that's our show. Thank you, ladies. And we'll see you next week, audience. Just remember, look for God's hands. It's moving in your life. And remember, you're better with Jesus than without him. You don't get nothing else. That'll take you through. Have a great week. Bye-bye.